I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I interviewed Nick with BSC. If you guys know who this club is, they are one man called a no contract club. They have something very unique to offer with that perspective and their view on development and why they're doing what they're doing. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Well, thanks for having me, Ian. I appreciate it. I'm the founder. And director of coaching of BSC Texas, so it's Brighton Soccer Club. I'm from Brighton, England, so hence the name. There you go, nice and original. I'm new to Texas. I moved here in January from California. I've been in the States for, I think, just over 14 years now. I've been playing and coaching soccer all my life. I was kind of fascinated not just being a player, but the kind of, you know, what goes on behind the scenes with football, the ins and outs. I had some really good coaches in England, and that kind of inspired me to always want to kind of pursue being a coach. But like I said, I was fascinated by every aspect of soccer, and I was playing on a Saturday in England. I was 21 years old, so I was an older, I guess what you'd call a freshman, and they were videoing an 18-year-old who I was playing against on that Saturday. I had no intentions of moving to America at all. But, you know, that evening went out, a few beers, and then got a voice from a coach in America saying, hey, we were watching this young lad play. We liked you. Would you consider coming out? And then three weeks later, full ride, pay for everything, get to play soccer in Montana. And that's kind of where I really understood the ins and outs of coaching at a high level, college recruitment, what youth soccer is in America compared to in Europe, the huge differences, the pros and cons. So once I graduated, I kind of went from a few different states, lived and coached in those states, and finally found myself here in Texas, which, like I said, I moved here in January. So it's been a pretty cool ride so far. Out of all the states I've lived in, I know I've only been here for, 10 months now. By far my favorite. Absolutely love it. And this is where myself and my fiance are, this is where we're going to be staying for the long haul, we said. So
I love it. I'm not from Texas. I'm from Northern New York. So I miss Arizona's blue skies and Northern New York's summers, but Texas hasn't been too bad.
Nice.
So where is your club out of in the Metroplex?
We're in Allen.
You're in Allen. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, being a new started out, I guess at Celebration Park in Allen. And then we were trying to find a new home, which has been an absolute, it's been heartbreaking at times, knowing that there's some field space out there that's been contracted but not used. I think you can understand the reasons why. So we found ourselves right now temporarily at the Pit in Plano, but we're back and forth. We do Tuesday, Thursdays right now practice in Plano, but we offer a Edge Fridays kind of program with our team that we have, where it kind of focuses on other elements of the game, strength, core, well-being. We have a kind of, we have a 2008 girls team right now. So there's more to it than just on the field stuff. It's, a lot of their hormones, their cycles, that type of thing, their nutrition. So we use our Fridays twice a month to kind of educate the girls on that. My fiance is a holistic wellness coach, so she takes the lead on that. And then I'm there separate, where we kind of split the group up, and I'll do half of it with kind of training with the ball, maybe some kind of individual, focused sessions, and then we'll switch them. So it's worked out really well so far. It's been really fun. So that's in Allen, but we're actually primarily playing out of Plano right now, but we're looking for a home in Allen for the foreseeable future.
That's awesome. You're in I call it the Mecca area of soccer for the Metroplex, Allen, DFW, Plano area. That's where all the teams seem to be having their headquarters. Quite the competition out there. Now, this is where you guys kind of caught me by surprise. What is your club's philosophy?
If I'm honest with you, Ian, I think if you look at most clubs, right, especially in the entire country, they always say the same things. Like, we focus on development, we try and play the right way, we do possession football, that type of thing. So, of course, like, it's good to say stuff like that, but do you actually back that up? So if you look at our philosophy is on development, but it has to be on the kid. Like, the kid is the forefront of the club. Without the kid, there's no club. But the kid has to be developed. And how is that kid being developed? Well, there has to be that kind of foundation put in place that looks after them, and not seeing them as, we want to build our club quickly, or we want to have the largest club in the state. It's not about that. It's about retaining that kid and helping that player develop over his or her career. So in my head, as a club, the philosophy should be, no matter what age they come in, we have to take that responsibility seriously, and we have to have them, or we have to work to get them in and stay with them until they graduate and they go off to either play high school, college soccer, professional soccer, or they just don't play soccer at all. But we want to be there and kind of develop them the right way. So I guess the answer would be the philosophy, the same as every club kind of says it. But I feel like the ambition for us is to actually back it up and you can see it. You can see it in our games. You can see it at practices. So I think, again, my answer would be quite a hard one to answer because everyone says the same thing. Does that make sense?
But you mentioned, right, it makes sense. But you went back and you talked about Edge Fridays, where you talk about it's more than just the ball. It is the whole player as a whole, talking about nutrition.
Yeah.
Being a newer club, a smaller club, gives you the option, the opportunity to do that. I can use Villarreal very well because on Friday night, they have skills nights that's open to the club. And they don't charge extra for it. It's just there when they can have it. And I mean, my son has benefited from it quite a bit, but my daughter plays for Villarreal. And so they always invite Landon because she plays there and they aren't going to turn away a sibling. Yeah. They play for another club. And awesome. But there's things that they work on that he has used literally either the next day or 2 days later in a game. They worked on volleys and Landon got a ball. It bounced once. He volleyed it in on a 7v7 field from about the hash line and volleyed it in for a goal. And it's interesting that you guys already have that in place right out of the gate of having that. That's important. Is that part of the fees, or is that extra on Fridays, the Edge Fridays, as you called it?
Everything's always part of it. We don't charge extra for anything else. And like you said earlier, Ian, about having no contracts, I'm sure you'll mention that later on, but it's not about money. It's about, you know, giving the players the environment to thrive in. And that's what it is at the end of the day. Parents pay a lot of money with youth soccer, a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of travel. A lot of conversations, a lot of stress, usually. And it's, you know, if there's one fee after another, you know, what are we doing?
Right.
So it's something, as we grow, you know, we foresee, let's say, hypothetically, next season, we have 3 or 4 teams. Everything stays the same. It's just going to be a larger group participating in that. And then we'll just have to kind of reevaluate, you know, girls, boys, how we're going to kind of talk about the edge and how we're going to split that up, but it's still going to be the same.
That's awesome. That goes back to what you said. It goes back to the action of following in versus just posting it on a website.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of clubs that post a lot of things and they have a lot of skills nights and for their club, but it's always an extra $35 or an extra $25 or sometimes $10. I mean, I'll take the $10 any day of the week for some of this stuff, but it's just to cover the cost for the coach to be there, whoever it may be. And I think larger clubs have a little bit more leeways of doing things than smaller clubs.
Yeah.
Because the cost structure is different. Now, going back to that Friday's edge with the development side, you talked about backing it up. Do you guys do other things other than that? Or is that the major one and you guys have small things? Because if I'm catching it right, you only have one team right now, or do you have more than one team?
Yeah. So obviously everything is focused on them, which makes it easier, if I'm honest, for kind of organization and following through on those type of things. But we're building the foundations, knowing that the club will grow. So for the little things that can become tedious, we're making sure, like, for example, transparency with our parents on costs, where's their money going month to month. We have an open book policy where they can see where their fees are going. And that's going to be pushed for the future of the club as well. Because it's, you know, it's a lot for every parent to deal with. And I think a lot of the times, I mean, I've been around youth soccer in America for a long time, and there's nothing worse than having that feeling of a frustrated parent and a frustrated kid, because then there's something that we're doing wrong as a club, what I'm doing wrong as a DOC or a coach. So we want to put those little kind of things in place now. I have a great team behind me. I have obviously my fiance, have a great treasurer and a team manager. He's kind of implementing that structure from a communication and transparency point of view. He deals with the finances, and the communication we're trying to do right now is to propel the club forward. So when we do have 3 or 4 teams next year or the next 2 years, it's already been done. And then we can learn right now what's working and what's not. Because I've been, like I said, I've been around this a long time, Ian. I've had some mistakes myself in the past, and it's just learning from them. And as you get older and wiser, you're thinking, okay, this is how this kind of plays out, and this is what we want to work towards. And it's working really well. I'm very fortunate. I've got a group of parents and players that trust the process right now. I think we're over communicating at times with them because they're not used to it, if I'm honest with you. But it's been a fun ride so far. And we're just, like I said, we're trying to build that foundation, put them in place where I can vision in the next 3-4 years, 10, 15 teams. This is what's happened. This is why we did what we did right at the start, and trying to maintain that foundation.
That's critical, because just like any good business, even, I mean, I look at these clubs, they're ultimately, even though they're 501c3s or LLCs, they're still businesses at the end of the day. Maybe the LLCs are already businesses, but you know what I mean? It is setting things up for success as the expansion goes. So with that being said, you only have one team. So are you planning on bringing in more coaches and like going out to parks to go build up teams? Or are you, I mean, I've heard coaches go to Blue Skies, or I guess Toka now, or the Pit. And when they have these indoor games and their league games, they go reach out to the families that are on a rec team, or they go sit at a rec field and hand out business cards to parents about at certain age groups they were trying to recruit for. Is that something you guys are looking forward to do in the future to grow, or are you trying to grow more organically by word of mouth?
Everything's organic, mate, if I'm honest with you. I mean, like I said, I'm not a social media person. My fiance is, but for me, it's the social media that we have is, we have a little Instagram page, Facebook, and a website, right? So I understand how all that type of thing works, but we want to portray something that's not forced. It's not something like, we want to build now. We want to build the 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just about, again, putting the foundations in place. So we're not out there recruiting in terms of going to rec teams or rec places, rec fields, rec games. We're just organically focusing on our girls, and we do a lot of video analysis with the team. And that's a big feature of what we're going to continue to do as a club. And just how it's worked even this year, if I'm honest, Ian, like at the start, you know, July, we had 11 players, and it was touch and go, and it wasn't forced. And it was a conversation with myself and those parents and those players saying, like, we have 11. It's not going to be easy, but let's trust the process, because there are going to be players come, you know, maybe a month or two down the line where maybe they haven't enjoyed their club experience, or they've just decided to quit club altogether. Then they miss it. And then they hear that, you know, one of their friends have played. And that's what happened. You know, we started with 11, and like I said, very fortunate and thankful. I had such a good group of parents to believe in what we're doing. Then we got to a roster of 16 within, you know, July, August, September. So now we're kind of ready to, you know, we're fully functioning team, and it's been brilliant to see. And that's just kind of how it's happened. I don't like to force stuff. I like to be patient and just see how it's going to work out. But I think when you believe in something that you're doing right, and believe in the product that you're producing, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, whether it's going to be, like I said, 3 or 4 teams next year, or it might just be 1 or 2. It doesn't matter. It's, again, about building the foundation and going from there. And again, understanding and educating myself on the craziness of Northeast Texas soccer.
Yeah, it's a different world. And that's the crazy part of this. It's all crazy. I respect you willing, going back to what you talked about and you brought up, was the no contract. I think that's part of your club philosophy out of the gate. It doesn't matter if it truly is, but that shows that you care more about the development than holding a player back. That they might not agree with you, or there just might be a personality conflict that's there. It doesn't mean that they're a bad player, or there's something wrong with the player, or there's something wrong with you as a coach. It just shows that you care more about the player being in a place that they're happy playing than stuck for a year.
I had so much, I guess, like, as we were kind of, you know, getting the momentum, and I was out there like practicing individual training with kids, right? And it was close to having a boys team, and then we randomly had this girls team. But I got a lot of emails and texts questioning what that was. And I think 90% of them was, there was the two answer, the two questions. Aren't you afraid that coaches will just poach your players? And then the second one was, well, what about the non-committed players or parents that aren't getting enough playing time? They can just leave. But again, I think it goes back to how the foundation is being built. If, and like you said, if I'm not doing my job as like, I found in DOC, but I'm also the head coach, right? I'm probably going to be the coach of two or three teams going forward, so I can educate my coaches on what I believe is the way to go forward and help the kids. So when I look at our practices, right, if a kid isn't in an environment they're happy with, they shouldn't be forced financially to stay there. Why is that fair on them? It's not. That comes down to me as a coach. It comes down to us as a club. If they're not in that environment, then they have to go elsewhere. Just like you said, Ian, there might be some random conflict. It might be the fact that they're just not enjoying the team, or they don't enjoy me as a coach. And that's absolutely fine. They should have the freedom to move elsewhere. That's what I just can't fathom about Northeast Texas, if I'm completely honest. When I first moved here and started kind of educating myself on soccer here, the contracts were just mind-blowing. And I see it every single weekend. Like, I've made a lot of connections now. There's a lot of parents who contact me about, do you have this age group? Right now it's a no, but they're just sitting on the bench, or they're just not happy. So that has to be to do with the coach and the club philosophy or whatever's going on. But they can't sit there right now and think, I've just got to get to January, or I've just got to get to next July because I owe X amount of money. So that's right. Why that, like, it will never ever change. And like I think when I had my interview with Alan, a team player, he asked me about that a lot. And my goal for that is, I want every single club, if it might be a pipe dream, it probably is, but I want every single club to put this in motion and not have contracts, because to me it's just about money. If you're not going to put that in place, then you're just holding a kid and a family ransom, because you want that kid to be paying X amount of money a year. So that's a big part of the club, I guess. Yeah.
It goes back to trusting the process. I think that's what's missing in our society, is that it's all about the W at every weekend. It's as I was told, it's the, I won't say what coach, but a coach I interviewed, he calls it the Gucci mom, Gucci purse mom. It's looking at what purse they're carrying. It's what they can put on social media. And if their kids aren't winning, parents aren't happy because they can't show it because all their other friends' kids are winning on social media, whatever it may be. And to me, at the end of the day, if they aren't figuring out how to play the tactics of a game, you're coaching U08, so that's a U15 going on to be U16 in theory next year. I guess this year to next year is a U16. And as a parent at that age, I'm more worried about, are they getting the tactical side of the game down versus the technical side as an individual and the physical side. I mean, we can go into a whole nother philosophy there later, but at that age, I would be more concerned about if my kids understanding this formation plays against this formation, what is the outcome of it? Or when we're playing our formation, what are we doing to counteract the movement of other players? And you mentioned earlier, and I'll hop back to it, but game film. I mean, that's a huge part of this thing. And if players are getting, like you said, a better foundation, so when they move on to whatever the next level they're playing at, if it's with you or college or pro, whatever it may be, if they understand the tactics of learning how to play the game, but also learning how to watch and read game film, as important as it is. I mean, my son's 9. I've been making him rewatch all of his games at Blue Skies for every time he has a game there. We sit down and rewatch it. I ask questions. And as a parent, I think that's important because he has to understand what he did correct and what he did wrong. And as much as it stinks saying that our kids make mistakes, soccer is a game of mistakes. I was told it's whoever makes the first mistakes Whoever makes the first mistake first ends up losing the match. And I'm like, that's a good way of putting it, because it's whoever allows the goal to go in is the mistake. And there's nothing wrong with that. And at this age, if you're talking about development, how do you approach the philosophy winning over development and player development over winning then? Because that's such a huge part of our North Texas culture here is.
I think the perfect example is the girls right now, right? I mean, they've come from, I mean, I'm not going to ever name names, but they've all come from different teams, different clubs. Some haven't played club for about a year. They hated it. They got burnt out like most kids do. They haven't been coached well. And we've got a team of highly talented and great girls, and we're just slowly kind of getting them connected together. And when we started with the 11, you could kind of see how it was going to play out, and I could see what they needed to work on. So there had to be different stages. It's not like where you get, you know, you have your teams over the years. There was like, okay, how are we going to stage this from week 1, 2, 3, all the way through to December and then the summer? And you can plan all you want, but you can't plan for maybe some oversights of, okay, they actually don't know how to throw the ball in. They don't know what a corner looks like. They haven't been coached where I've got two girls who signed who weren't allowed to shoot from outside the 18-yard box because their coaches didn't allow that. So it's these little things you have to kind of learn from each individual player, right? But from the basis of where we started and where we are right now, so we're a team that was going to play PPIL. We would have done really well, but it wasn't, I guess, when we got the opportunity to play Classic League, I asked the girls, like, it's going to be harder. It's, you know, we've got primarily 09 girls, but we're going to be playing with 08. So we're going to be in the 08 league. It's going to be a battle for you. But what you're going to learn is going to be a completely different experience to what we were told the kind of quality would be. No disrespect to PPIL at all, but the league we were going to be placed in as a new team and a new club, it would have been, I think, pretty easy for them. So instead, we said, no, let's do Classic League. We've just been invited there. Let's give it a go. Let's see what we're made of. We've played such good football where I would come away from the game losing 3-1 or 4-1, like absolutely buzzing, like perfect, love that. And then I watch the video. You probably know what it's like. And if you're watching the video, you don't just watch the game. It takes about 8-9 hours during the week. So I watch it, analyze it, I pull it out, edit it, and that type of thing. And then we kind of structure it, what we're working on. Where did the girls struggle this week? Well, we struggled on playing out the back. Okay, there's our theme for the next 2 weeks of practice. So we put together a video. We send that to the parents and the girls and say, this is what you need to watch. This is what you need to educate yourselves. Come back to practice on Monday. This is what we're going to work on for 2 weeks. And watching that on tape from, I guess, when we started in July through to now, it's, you can just see it. You can see the difference, right? Because there's been a lot of time and energy, but commitment from the girls, from myself, from the parents. But my point being is we're still losing games. But why are we losing games right now? Because we don't boot the ball. We don't send it to that star one or two players who just get me the ball. They run and they score, right? That's not what we're about. I've got 16 girls on this team. My job and my goal is to have these girls until they graduate into college, depending if they want to go to college soccer or not. That's my responsibility. So if I'm focused on my star center mid or my star forward and just let's get the ball to her, well, what's going to happen to my back four? What's going to happen to my left mid? What's going to happen to my defensive mid? We're not going to get enough development because I'm focused on the win. And what I've seen, we played, I think, 6 games now in Classic League. I won't ever name names, but the first one, the coach said, loved how you played. I don't know how long you're going to be able to keep this up. You're going to have to start getting wins by booting it. And I just, yep, cheers, whatever, moved on, like standard. And then the second team, so like if I structure it right, let's say we had 3 teams at this age group, and let's call it Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. Right now, let's say we're in Division 2. Well, why is the team that we're playing against bringing down 3 players from Division 1 to play against us, right? That just tells me one thing. If they've got a roster of nine because of illnesses and injuries, that's a different, okay, fair enough. You need some backup, right? But it's not the case. Like, we're playing against a roster of 20, 21 players. So these three kids come down. That just tells me one thing. We went a goal up against this team, and I heard the coach, and he went, right, you three, now it's time to go win the game. And it's just that demoralizing standard, no disrespect, but Texas U soccer mentality right now. It's wins come first. But why not? So let's say Division One, Division Two, Division Three, right? The only way to do it properly is by bringing the Division Three players to Division Two players to help them develop and grow. There shouldn't be a drop down at all. And then Division Two players should be able to go to Division One. They might not play much of the game, but they get to be in that environment. They can see the difference and go, oh, this is why I need to work harder. This is what I need to work on. I love this. It gives them some aspiration. It's not like that. It's let's just win, win, win. And for me, it's not, I think the coaches are pressured to do that from their clubs, which is fine. Do your thing. I can't fathom as a parent, if my kid goes to practice two or three times a week, working their butt off, right? And they come to the game on Saturday, and I find out that these D1 or ECNL or whatever players that you have come down to play, and then this player's taken out of the game. Why are we not questioning that? Because now it's just about the win. But I feel like the parents are just so accepting of, oh, we won today, even though Becky played 5 minutes. Well, but we won. Everyone's happy and excited. Yeah, but what happened to Becky? She didn't really play. She didn't develop. She's not getting any better. So that's why I think the battle is, and that's where I come in and where we come in as a club. It's just never, ever going to be tolerated, ever. And that's why I always say, like, we're trying to change the game. It's going to be a slow burner, but it's crazy.
And I'll be honest, like, I've talked to a few coaches and a few coaches in the big clubs, and it's the hard part for the bigger clubs. It's trickling the message down to the bottom. And I watch. I only use my kids because I have permission to use their. I mean, that are my kids, but it's. Talking about like Villarreal, my daughter's team, they play 4v4. She's 5 years old. They play they play the diamond formation, which is standard, but they all stay in their lane, so to speak, at 5 years old. And it's fun to watch because they actually, when they're playing soccer, they're playing soccer. They aren't playing Bumblebee or whatever you want to call it. I call it herding cats movement on the soccer field. They are trying to keep their formation, trying to move. And yes, they may be getting their butt kicked some weekends. Some weekends they're doing great, but they're actually playing soccer. And I have to compare it to my 9-year-old because he plays 9v9. And watching the difference between the two, it's like, I think maybe because we've been through it with one kid already and now we have a second kid through it, it's not about the wins. Like, if you don't have, like you said, the foundation, the development there, you'll never be able to truly have these kids go on. We talked earlier about social media, and this is where it absolutely drives me crazy. So you have these parents like, my son's on a great team, but they are not winning. I'm like, why aren't they winning? Are they? Is it a rebuilding team? Is it a coach that's more worried about development? Like, why aren't you going to go talk to your coach than place it on social media and having someone validate your opinion on why you need to change teams versus what is the real reason going on here? Is it my son's teams? I have no problem talking about it. They're a brand new team. They did pretty well in the first tournament they played in. They played in the second, the top tier, because the players are not bad players. They're high quality players. And they go in their league play and they're playing in a pretty hard bracket. And they tied their first game last weekend and finally won their first game.
Awesome.
But it's taken them, what, 6 games to get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
But they're finally working as a team. They're moving the ball. They're passing the ball. They're playing soccer versus the other teams that drives me up the wall. I hate watching the ball. Even on his team, they boot the ball down the sideline to their striker to go score. Well, that's great that we can clear the ball 3/4 of the field to get to a person when everyone's back. And they aren't expecting that. But as soon as the defense figures out what we're doing and you're playing the long ball, you have to play the passing game. And watching some of these young teams at my daughter's age, they can move that ball left to right between each other. And I'm watching it, watching some of these older teams now, even at U16. It's just the defender gets the ball and they boot it to the forwards. And where's the development? Why isn't the coach trying something different? And maybe, I mean, as I was told, that's a very old European style of soccer play, is the long ball. They get it straight up to your forwards and have your striker kick it in because they want goals and they want the ball always in the attacking third. But as a parent, where is the skills coming in? And I think that's what you're getting at, is that
like, there's a time and place for that, right? Like, last 10 minutes of the game, it's a tough 1-0 game. If you're losing that, send that ball long, try and push up the field together. Like, there's a time and place for that, but there's not a time and place for it to be 80 minutes for an entire game where that's trying to boot the ball to that fast striker who will score you goals. And that's the whole point. And like I said to you, Ian, I'm fortunate that even though the results aren't coming right now for the girls, when you can see the progression, it's exciting to see how they play. And it's not that we need compliments from other coaches or refs or whatever it is, but when it does come, you know you're doing something right. You can see it with your own eyes. And it's one of those balances now for the parents and for the girls to say, like, just keep the progress going, have faith and trust the process. And they are. And there are times, of course, no one wants to lose all the time. But if you're trusting the process and you're actually coming off the field, enjoying yourself, and you can see your own progression, you can't beat that. And it will turn into those magic games at some point where you will start dominating teams. But until then, trust the process and build properly together. And that's what we're doing. So
I think you have the right mentality with that for development. So we talked about it and we kind of got off the topic, and because we got talking about development with the no contract part of it, how do you plan on, I guess, do you guys just accept people throughout the season? Then if someone came up now, you'll just accept them into your team, or do you have, if they meet the qualifications, let's start there. Let's make sure.
They have to fit in. And I think, again, when I've got a really good relationship with the DOC at Steel United, Adam, he's a great guy. It's coaches and directors like that I want to have a relationship with, because let's say I had a girl come, like we have actually a girl coming on Thursday night. She messaged me and said, look, she hasn't got a team right now. She took a break, but we've seen what you've done. Do you want, I was like, yeah, okay, come down to practice. But there's two things that can happen there. Well, three things. Number one is she could be way below this standard, so it's not fair on the team, but it's also not fair on her. So, you know, I want to have that relationship with other coaches and directors to say, hey, I've got this girl, this is her level. Do you have a roster spot for her? Let me send her down. That's what I think is lacking here massively. And that's why I'm fortunate that I met Adam. And then, like, number two would be she fits perfectly. Okay, awesome. Is she going to be part of the roster for the foreseeable year? Or option three, she's way above what we're doing right now. So, again, Adam, because he's my only connection right now, do you have someone for this ability and this level? And I think that's where, I mean, I know you were talking, Ian, about, you know, kind of maybe starting, like, the coaches table. That's where I would love that to progress to, where you have those connections, where it's not about the team or the club, it's about the player. So who can I send this person to? And right now I only have Adam that I trust to develop this player, so that's my only connection right now, if that makes sense. So
it does. I think that's what, when I talked to Frank and Gio and Skylar jumped in at the end, that's something we talked about. It's learning to say, well, I don't have a slot for you on my roster, but this coach in this club has a spot and I truly trust them to be able to develop you. And maybe you can come back, and when we have tryouts again, you can try out and things do change, or we might have a team or more availability because people do change. Kids are finicky and they all of a sudden they don't want to play a sport anymore. And That's the thing. It's like you have to, and also keeping that line of open with that player, saying like, hey, I know you tried out with this coach. I'm not trying to do anything. If you like it there, that's great. If not, come back out and see. I'd love to see how you're doing. And I think if players and parents truly understood what their kids need to get to go to the next level, I think that might help them a great deal. And I think that's why having these conversations with people like you is so important, because it gives a different perspective of the game that we all love and enjoy and cherish, and we want our kids to have that lifelong connection with. Now my brain is now switching to the you said you'd Steel United, but you also talked about growing organically. Are you going to bring in eventually a coach to be an assistant, so you can start fostering and building your club's philosophy and standards through another person? Because you have to start somewhere.
That's what I'm doing right now. So I have a coach. I've never been one for an assistant coach. Just that type of person. But I have an assistant coach who's learning with the kind of potential to watch what I do. He's never coached before, so very educated, older guy on soccer. But it's a different ball game. You can watch football you want, you can play football, but when kids are involved, it's a completely different experience, completely different dynamic. So it's getting to know kind of how I talk to the players, how our relationship is, because it's that's first, right? And then the soccer comes later. Like, anyone can kind of go on YouTube and put a drill together, but there has to be a process to it. So it's almost mirroring what I'm doing. So in 2 years' time, I can give him a team. We also have a young guy. I call him a player ambassador. He's currently at college playing. Really good lad. Young guy, very technically gifted, but so passionate about the sport. But again, never coached at a high level. So he comes down to practices when he can, because he's in the college season right now. And the whole point of him being a player ambassador is, one, when we do have a boys team, he's kind of that lead of this kid, this guy's playing in college, this is my aspiration, but also him understanding how coaching works, and again, building that foundation. So I have two right now to plan for the future. And then I'm going to obviously grow as we grow. But it's one of those things that's so important to me. I mean, I've been down this road so many times. If they're not coaching in your mirror and how you're seeing the club evolve and your philosophy, it's not going to work. And then you're just going to turn into every other club where it's just, all right, go do your thing. Wins are more important. And then the ego takes over, right? So instead, it's, you could lose the next 10 games, but as long as I'm seeing you as a DOC doing the right things as a coach and your kids are smiling and playing and developing, absolutely happy, not interested in that win, because it will come. So it's, again, we put that structure in place where they are learning how to do that. It just takes time. It's not an easy thing to coach youth kids. Like, there's a lot to it that goes way above just kicking a soccer ball. right now, and I'm really fortunate. I've got a really good group of people around me right now, so and they all share the same vision and excitement as I do.
You talk about development. I've always said it from day one. I coached my son for a bit, and winning is the byproduct of true development. And it's not a byproduct of development, of true development. I feel like there's a difference. You've talked about it. You've hinted towards it even, and we'll talk about it here a little bit more. But developing coaches, I think this is the big thing that other coaches have said. I know that, I don't know if you got to Juan Martinez's episode, like he felt he grew too big too quickly.
DKSC, yeah. He sounded like a really nice guy.
He is phenomenal to talk to, great guy to work with. And I have a lot of respect for him, because I've spent, since my son has been playing club soccer, watching them and what they're doing and talking to other coaches that have worked with them. And I mean, every club that size, they have, what, 50, 60 coaches, I think he said. And you don't get coaches, and you need coaches to coach certain age groups. And it's very hard to have that mentoring, especially when you grow really rapidly and now you're consolidating back down again. But to keep the club's philosophy throughout it, you're not from the States, so you have the perspective. I don't know if you met Wilco with Dutch FC yet, but he talks about he posted a great article about the squad system, and there's technically three squads that you have, but really technically coaches should have two squads and develop a competitive team and a competitive team, and play the your Ajax. I don't know what the other one was called. And he goes, your all-star on your competitive team might just be a playmaker on your development competitive, or he might just be a support player, and your support player might actually be an all-star on your competitive team. You just don't know until they're in the circumstances. But he goes, but that's the importance of the squad system. You're talking about the classic league, and how do you think they're just transferring players to win, or do you think they kind of have a squad system going on? Or is it, I'm not trying to put you in an awkward position. We can delete this later. Trying to see, maybe you see something differently than I'm seeing. I feel like you're seeing exactly how I see it. They're bringing it down to get the debut and not develop.
I'm never going to hide from what my opinion is and what I believe in. Yeah, 100%. I don't think it's a squad system. It's about the win. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've seen it. I keep myself quiet. I'm not a talkative person in terms of on the sidelines. If my kids need instruction, like maybe they're out of position, I'll let them know. But the rest of the game is about them, right? So when I hear from the sidelines, and you can see it on rosters before the game, like on a Friday, the rosters come in and, you know, they've transferred all these guest players from ECNL and all that type of thing. Like, what we do it. So it's the first thing. And it's you just kind of look, okay. And I see that mentality. I see how the coach is. And yeah, 100%. That's why BSC started, mate. Like, I disagree with it. I'm going through even above Classic League, ECNL, MLS Next. I do that in quotation marks because, like, go down to an MLS Next game. Like, not all of them, and I'm not going to bash all coaches. There's some very highly talented male and female coaches out there, and especially in this state, very, very highly talented. I think some of them, their hands are tied. They're almost handcuffed by their clubs and their parents to get that win. They want to kind of hold their roster as much as possible. But yeah, I think it just goes throughout. Like, when ECNL started, I think I was in Oregon at the time. I think it started as such a beautiful thing, and it was meant for the elite kids, right? For them to play and participate in an environment that they can really thrive, and the other kids to aspire to. Now it's just money. It's just money. And I've had kids that come down, and bless them, like, some of them they can't even have a good touch and play. They have no understanding about shadow play, scanning, movement. But then I get a text a week later, oh, you know, she got invited on this ECNL team, we're going to sign. And the mom and dad are buzzing, the kids buzzing. But it's just false. It's false hope. They've written a check, and now this kid is playing way out of their depth, or the team that's ECNL isn't fundamentally good enough. So I guess I went off track there, Ian.
No, but you
to get to my point of the Classic League, it's the same. It's the same across the board. Like, coaches know, like, parents know. So, like, don't kid yourselves. Like, just own up to what you're doing. We want to get that win, so we're going to bring six more players on this Saturday. Like, just own up to it. Everyone knows. Like, it's silliness. But the more people talk about it, the better, because it's one of those things, and it's in our curriculum. It's in our, I guess, values as a club. That will never, ever happen. I don't care. And I've had it from a coaching point of view. I've coached high-level high school games. I've won state championships. I dropped my starting striker in the state championship final because of her attitude in the week's practice. And I got absolutely killed by some parents for doing that. We ended up winning it, but I got killed by it. But if you're not setting the tone and those standards, like, then who am I as a coach? Like, I can't look myself in the mirror if I let things like that go, right? So, again, yeah, I don't agree with it. And I think it's going to take coaches and people like me and people like Adam, people like Juan, is it?
Oh, yeah, Juan with DKSC.
Yeah, to question it all the time and say, no, I'm not going to stand for it. So, and how do you do that? Well, you just keep doing your thing. You keep doing the right things, and hopefully in time it will change. So,
you
Hello, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode with Nick. This is a two-part series, so next week will be part two, and we finished talking about BSC. Nick was great to talk to this week. A lot of insight, a lot of unique situations they have to put themselves in by being a great little club to join and to be part of. Now, if you guys are ready for part two, it'll drop next week. Now, if you guys really enjoy this podcast, please give me some ratings, a star, a review, share it with others so others can continue enjoying this podcast like you have. So until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.